Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Praise the Lord, everybody, and this is the Preacher and the Miracle Man. I am here at McDonald's on, at 1711 South Saginaw Road. I'm across from a Kmart, and I am next door to a Disability Network of Mid Michigan office, as well as on the other side, a Marathon gas station. You can say that I am officially a member of the mobile ordering club at McDonald's. Yes, I placed my first ever mobile order today at McDonald's. They have a deal right now where one time a week, if you use mobile order and pay, you can get a free sandwich with a purchase of just a dollar or more. So, for example, I, the Miracle Man, I got a double filet of fish sandwich with a large fry and a large Coke from McDonald's. And by the way, Preacher Man may think otherwise, but Coca-Cola is always and will always be the best drink, the best soda on earth. What'd you say about that, Preacher Man?
Well, what I have to say is that I'm drinking a hot coffee right now.
And that the best soda on earth is Coca-Cola.
It is Dr. Pepper.
Okay. And so, yes, I'm here at McDonald's. Yes, I just got done eating. Yes, I'm delicious cold Coca-Cola with no ice of the large size. And so, plan for tonight is this. Tonight, we're going to talk. Yes, we're going to read our Exodus tonight as we're going to talk about Moses and the Israelites, as well as reading on faith. And then tonight, when I exhort, I feel like God wants me to speak on believing for loved ones who either they're on their deathbed or they're close to it, and believing, you know, for them to make heaven and, like, what to say to them. And after that, I'm still going to do my other exhortation, but in addition to that, I feel like God wants me to spend a couple minutes to talk about believing God for your loved ones or friends that may be on their deathbed and may not know Jesus, and what to say to them, you know, to make sure that they can make heaven. I say this because my father right now is in the process of losing his mother. My parents had to leave to fly out of so they can go to Albuquerque, where my grandpa on my dad's side lives. So I feel that God would have me talk about that. Not about my grandpa, but about the believing God. For my grandma, but about the believe in God for loved ones. And then in the process of that, God wants me to pray for these loved ones. Preacher man, if you have something you'd like to say about it when the time comes, I'm going to invite you to do so. And then, on a lighter note, yes, we're going to talk briefly tonight on cars about fuel economy and how it can be improved so that it can be such a way that it's not just more miles per gallon, but more miles per tank. Because I have an example on a from a trip me and my mom took back in March of last year. But I will get to that later in the program, as well as football stuff, the football stuff from yesterday and my analyses and what I saw as the Super Bowl has been set. Also, we got some Pistons stuff. We got some Red Wings stuff, some Michigan stuff, a little bit of Michigan State stuff too. And so better get settled because it's going to be a busy show tonight, but at the same time, it's going to be a
yes,
a great show, and it's going to be great. So with that, we're going to go through this, the introduction really quick because, like I said, I got a ton of stuff to get to. So how to, and you can share this, your listeners. The reason I go through this how-to stuff is so that you can tell other people how to log on and listen. And it's as simple as this. Go to blogtalkradio.com. That's all one word, blogtalkradio.com. You'll see a search bar, and you type in Upfront Entertainment. You hit the link, and that'll take you straight to our show, as this is the 73rd time we've done this together. Number 73. And so we've done this. This means this will be the 73rd time. And the cool thing is that all the episodes are archived, so you can go back and listen to them. Done a great bunch of great things, some great teachings, some songs and stuff that I've done, and feel like there's a song that God wants me to sing that could bring comfort to us all. It's that song about, you know, I believe he'll move the mountains, and I believe he'll see, but that, I'll do that when the time comes. But nonetheless, yeah, that's there for you, blogtalkradio.com. Search up for Upfront Entertainment, hit that link, and you'll see us. Also, it's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Always a smart idea.
Your smartphone.
Always a smart idea. Like when you're driving home from work or taking the kids to basketball practice or hockey practice. Or coming soon in about 2.5 months, you know, baseball practice. You know, whatever. And so it's always a smart idea. And so also how to call in. We have a telephone number that you can call in to talk to us. And that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is 215-383-3810. And once you call, you'll press 1 after being prompted, and then you'll go through a call screener. and we want to make sure everything's good. And we have two rules that I kindly ask you to help us with. And no, we don't have these for the purpose of being strict. We have these for in order to keep it a quality program. And here's number one. Number one is, this is not a political talk show. There are other great political talk shows that you can listen to.
Right.
We believe that talking politics on this show doesn't necessarily breathe life. It doesn't, you know, bring you closer to God.
It's not our focus.
You know, it's not our focus. So, with that in mind, we basically say that if it's politics you want to call in and talk about, we are going to ask you to pray for your leaders, which the Bible tells us to do anyways. So we're just going to give you that biblical advice. Rule number two, this is a family show. So we ask that you keep whatever comments you want to give to a PG level or better, like G or PG. Generally, we say like no R, preferably no PG-13 either. And generally, the rule we've came up with to help us with that is this. If you wouldn't say it to Jesus, don't say it on this program. So, if you can help us with that, everything will be great, and we'll just have an amazing show. And we can change the world through faith and radio.
And
as you may have seen, it says that on the website thing. So, change the world through faith and radio. And that's exactly what we're believing to do, and that leads me right into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show. I thank you for these great listeners who come on and listen to us. I thank you, Lord God, that these listeners and you're helping these listeners to pay attention to me, to Preacher Man, and what we're trying to say, that they pay attention to our warnings. I also pray that they have fun, you know, and I talk about the fun stuff like tonight as we talk about sports and cars and that. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you would be with us and that you would anoint us, anoint my mouth.
Yes.
Lord God, for tonight, so that I only say what you would have me say. And when and if there's something that you want Preacher Man to say, just let me know so that he can just come on and we can just flow in your power and as we change the world through faith and radio tonight. And as we talk, and I thank you, Lord God, that you speak to these listeners as we deal with these loved ones later, Lord God. And I just pray that you're with us right now and that our show audience would grow greatly. And I thank you, Lord God, for great sponsors, and they're going to come on, and they're going to help us. And I just thank you for a great show. In Jesus' name, fuck that. Okay. Now, if you could please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to go to Exodus. Sorry. It came undone. We're going to go to Exodus 13 tonight. And then Hebrews 11 and the first two verses of 12th. So, as I said, the plan for tonight is Exodus 14, as well as Hebrews 11 and first two verses of 12. So with that, I am turning in my Bible. And hold on a second. I am just getting my place, and then we can begin. Let me just make sure. Oh, yeah, I read 13 where it talks about consecration. And right now, I will just say this very briefly. God told Dr. Barclay that 2018 should be a year of consecration. So, Christians, let's make this year a year where we consecrate ourselves to God and try to just be as clean as we can and try to, you know, live the way God would want us to so that He would be proud of us. And so, Lord, help us with that. Amen. Now, I have found 14, so now I shall begin. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pihahiroth between Migdal and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion. He hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best along with all of the other chariots of Egypt, with officials over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, they pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pihahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looking up, and they were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there was no grapes in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us bringing out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you, Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to see, I mean, than to die in the desert, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians that you see today and will never see again, the Lord will fight for you, and you need only to be still." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the heart of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from every front and stood behind them. King between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night, and the Lord drove the sea back with strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea as in dry ground, with a wall of water on their right side and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from Israel, the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea, and the water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians. The people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Now, let's go to Hebrews 11. I still have not found that page, so if you could read the first 12 of 11 for us.
Should we read their song of praise after the water comes in tonight too?
I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Like I said tonight, I got a bunch of stuff.
All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Here we go.
Yep.
Verse number 1.
Uno. Yep.
Now faith. Right now.
Yep.
Right now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God, testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. With faith, it's possible to please him.
Exactly.
For he who comes to God must believe that he is, God is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Verse 13.
Now, 13, as God's countless in the seashore, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. Excuse me. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are longing for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God.
Hallelujah.
He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. We read about that tonight. We read about that tonight, folks, that those Egyptians were drowned right in the sea. God made the water go right by them. Now, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell, so that the people had watched after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies, and women received back their dead raised to life again, tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on football. Well, too often I feel like maybe that's what some guys think. Well, honestly, no. No, no, no. Instead, it said, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, you think about this Moses thing. Moses and the Israelites, they go and they, God tells them, turn back around, go, by the Red Sea and do this thing that I command you to do, and so they do it. And the craziest thing happens. So God calls them, tells them, I'm gonna make the ground where the Red Sea would be, I'm gonna make it dry, and I'm gonna make there be walls of water around on the left and on the right, as to make like walls, and they can be your guide, so you can like know where to go, for example. And so he did that for them, and they crossed all the Israelites. They all crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians, however, they started to cross. And at first, they're driving their chariots around the Red Sea. But then at the end of the night, and morning's about to come, that pillar, something happened. God confused those Egyptians. And then what happens was they got all confused in the water, and they went towards the water. When the water started coming back to where it would be, should normally be, and they got towards the water, and then the water went right over them, and then all the Egyptians, they all died. There were no lifeguards for saves. I couldn't have said, Hannah, save me. And of course, at that point, I would not be in the mood for, hello, Hannah, even though I wish I could have. But no, it was not like Plymouth, where there'd be a lifeguard to help you. Oh, no. And those Egyptians, they were crazy. And just for the record, God was not happy. No. Excuse me. Pharaoh was not happy when he was told that the Israelites had left and that Pharaoh would no longer have the services of the Israelites. He was very mad about it. And he basically said, why on earth did I let the Israelites go? And he was not happy. And basically for having all those plagues, so the Egyptians basically continued to pay the piper. They were paying the piper. And that piper, in this case, them paying the piper, was that they all drowned. The Egyptians drowned in that water after the Israelites had crossed over. And that Red Sea could be like like if you have to go through this really bad situation, but God's going to make a way for you so that you don't fall in. God's going to make a way for you, and he's going to guide you through it. It could be, like I said, what I'm going to talk about next, maybe a loved one that's dying or has died. It could be something else. It could be something you have to do, you know, maybe really hard test. God wants to hide us. I mean, help us. God wants to help us get through these red seas of life. God really wants to help us get through. And if we let him, he will. He'll make a way where there is no way. And that leads me to this song. Walking around these walls, I thought they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, I know the battle's won, but you have never failed me yet. I'm still in your hand. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. Great is my confidence. You never fail me. I know the light will last. I know that time will pass, but you have never failed me yet. Jesus is still enough, even when times are rough. Therefore, you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. Great is my confidence. You never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe. I see you do it again. I see you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. See you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe. I see you do it again. I see you do it again. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hand. Great is my confidence. You never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. That's so beautiful, you know. No matter what we're going through, He's always there for us. And he never fails. He never fails us, no matter how rough it gets. How rough that storm of life gets, that waves come crashing like crazy. You know, harder, 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 harder. And no, it doesn't always get harder, but you know, they'll be crashing hard. And Jesus never fails us. So you could be going through, for example, a cancer fight. Or, God forbid, but let's just say you were. And you're talking to God all the time about it. You're praying to him and you're saying, Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. This battle, it's really rough, Lord Jesus. I just call my body healed in the name of Jesus. And I just go before him in prayer. And then suddenly, he's not going to fail you. Suddenly, you start seeing that healing made manifest. And then that problem gets better. It gets less severe and less severe and less severe and less severe until the problem's not even there anymore. God wants to help us. And I sang that song for a reason. And part of it is to show us, you know, God makes a way for us. God makes a way for us. And sometimes you have to go through some things to get to that other side where you want to be. For example, I talked about the Israelites. They were going one way, and then God basically said, turn back around. I want you to cross the Red Sea. You know, and God basically says, I'm going to confuse, you know. I'm going to make it so that Pharaoh's going to think, oh, they left. What are they doing circling around right by the Red Sea, and camping by the Red Sea? What are they doing? Are they lost? They were obeying God. Sometimes you have to make that turn you don't want to take. And you might have to go through something in order to get there to where you want to be. And God wants to help us get through it. He removed that water. He parted the sea for them. And I just think about that. So I'm so thankful that we don't have to do this on our own. You know, Israelites could have done it the wrong way and they could have fallen in, drowned. But no, they followed it. You know, they followed the wall. It'd be almost like me, even though they could see. Follow the wall, follow the wall, follow the wall. You know, the wall of water. Follow the wall. And you'll get through. You know? It'd be like me in some of those big malls where maybe, for example, I might not know, understand the whole layout of where everything is yet and where the machines are yet and stuff. My mom will walk me, or dad will walk me through, and then after that I'll walk around, you know. But generally I'll still stick to the wall. Now, the Israelites, you know, they didn't go up on the wall of water, but, you know, they followed it, you know, so that they could get to where they were trying to go. And God will be that guide for you. Like, how that wall for me is kind of my guide through the mall, or any building for that matter. I just use some of these big malls here as examples. Yes, I'm looking at you, Great Lakes Crossing, 12 Oaks, Somerset, among other huge ones. The Red Sea would be like one of those, but on a much bigger scale. And God helped them through it. But that Red Sea would be a lot more scary, I still think, than any mall. But I'm not scared after I've been shown through it at all. I do good. But generally, God wants to help us. And he will help us if we let him. Now, folks, I said earlier when I opened this program that I was going to talk about what to say to loved ones who are on their deathbed. They're going to die in the next couple days or the next few hours. You know they're going to die, and you know, and you don't know for sure whether or not they're going to make heaven. Prayerfully, you do know. And Preacher Man, I'm sure you have a story of this, Preacher Man. So if you have a story...
Oops.
If you have a story
back
about
up, say,
this, yes, Preacher Man?
Well,
so,
I was trying to get you off mute, so tell me again the story you're looking for.
I was just saying I'm just getting into that thing about, you know, what to say to people who, like, when they're on their deathbed. And I was thinking about how you might have a story about that, maybe, about, like,
Oh, my goodness.
What did you say, you know, to make sure if you didn't know whether or not they knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and you didn't know whether or not they were going to heaven. Or maybe you knew they weren't going to heaven. So in a case like that, what did you do? What did you say, basically, Preacher Man?
Well, couple different ones. Most times God, I think, personally, this is just Sam Cottle, all right, there's no chapter and verse for this, but my own self personally, I think that God is always going to want a loving voice looking at a person saying, God loves you. It's real easy to accept his love. Your sins don't matter. You don't go to hell for sins. You go to hell for not accepting Jesus. So just accept him. Don't worry about your sins. Because that's a very difficult thing for many people to believe. They believe, because of somebody's radical teaching or something, that you go to hell for your sins. You go to hell because you don't receive Jesus. And as soon as you receive him, you're not going there. So that's one thing you can do. And I know I was with a man one time who was getting close, and I said, Lord, I want to know this man's going to heaven. He's a good man. I want you to clear out everybody in the room when I walk in there so that he's not embarrassed. You follow me?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, Miracle Man, I walked in the room and everybody left. And I'm like, I just looked at him. I said, hey, dude, do you know you're going to heaven? He goes, well, I've lived a good life, but I don't know if I know or not. I sure hope so. I said, well, how about we make sure right now? He goes, it's that easy? I said, yeah. What do I do? I said, well, pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. And you know what? He had a smile on his face immediately. And then I said to him, pray this with me. Forgive me of my sins. And he did. His smile got bigger. I said, now say this. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And he said it, and God filled him. Now, those are three very simple prayers. But to a person that's on their on their final moments of life before they cross over, that's all they need is simple. That's all they need. Now, let me tell you a different story. You still there?
Yes.
I had a lady in our church that was, she'd had horrible physical problems for most of her life. And she finally one day she said, "Pastor, I'm just sick of this. I'm sick of the fight. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm going." And I'm like, "Well, you know, don't go the wrong way. Don't go because you get some kind of a disease or something. Let's just go." But she got in some cancer and stuff.
Yeah.
She was having a really hard time just letting go. And so one day I told her husband, "I'll pick you up and we'll go." She was in a nursing home. And that whole day, this is important. It's not what I get ready to say. The whole day I said to God, "What do you want me to say to this lady?" And Miracle Man, he gave me about, I don't know, 8 pages worth of scripture to read. Not say anything, just read it. Now remember, she's born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, but she's having trouble letting go. And it was Psalm 91 and the 23rd Psalm and the Beatitudes and, I don't know, a lot of scriptures. And the final thing that was on that list was the Overcomes and the book of Revelation. And when I read the one that said, "I have set before you an open door which no man can shut," she crossed over to the other side.
Right then.
Right then. Her husband just looked at me like, "Well, I guess she's gone." And I said, "She's gone. We just stood here and watched it, man." We stood, and it was right when I said, "I've set," you know, I'm reading the words of Jesus. "I've set before you an open door which no man can shut." And she was gone. Now, the point of that whole story is nothing about me. It's about if you got somebody in this condition, you spend the day before you go saying, "Give me a verse, give me a statement, give me some scripture to read. What do you want me to say or do?" Because Pam was a visiting nurse, and there was a man that was about to cross over the other side. And he was a nice man, but he just never wanted anything to do with God.
Okay.
And she got in the house, and he went into a coma. And she's like, "Uh-oh, I missed it." And he came out, and she said, "The flames of hell are looking up your backside. Do you want to pray?" He said, "Yes, I do." And she didn't even have to lead him. He already knew what to say. He said, "Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Lord and Savior." He goes, "Oh, hallelujah, I made it." And went into a coma and died. Crossed over the other side.
All right.
So see, sometimes you're going to get real bold, but most times the Father's going to want you to have a loving voice because they're moments away. They don't need to worry about hell. They just need to hear the truth. Accept Jesus and you make it into heaven. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because John chapter 1 says, "To as many as received him." You don't go to hell for sin. You go to hell for not receiving Jesus. And when it's on the deathbed, there ain't no sense of, you know, when you're, I don't like saying you're on your deathbed. I like saying you are getting ready in a matter of minutes to cross over and see Jesus.
You're getting ready to cross over. Yep, and you're crossing over to.
Yeah.
And this ain't no Red Sea either. You're going to go over to heaven.
And you ain't coming back. And you're either going to wake up, you know, you'll wake up in hell or heaven. But why don't we just forget it? It's not about forget about it, but at that last moment of their life, receive the loving care of the Father. Receive Jesus. And then they cross over. And the most important thing is that you talk to God before you get there and say, "Give me the words to say." Sometimes he wants you to say it with the room full of people. Other times he wants you to say it with nobody in the room. Now, like I know another story. of a young lady that just died of a sudden, a massive heart attack, and they kind of brought her back and everything. And they looked at her husband and said, you know, the bottom line is she ain't going to make it. She has no brainwave activity. We got to pull the plug. He said, all right, well, wait till my whole family gets here. We're going to have a worship service in here, and then we'll do it. And he got his guitar, the husband. The room filled up with people. There was probably 10 or 15 people. And all of the medical staff came in that room and worshiped with them for about a half an hour as they could.
Wow.
And then the young man looked at him and said, okay, well, she's already with Jesus anyways. We just did that worship for us. Go ahead, pull the plug. I'm out of here, headed for home. She's in heaven. It was a very interesting situation. And I don't think you can ever say any two will be the same. Important thing is that you've talked to God. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So, listeners, if you're in this case, please talk to God. Please. And what you say is as simple as this. And you have this person say this. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I accept you and fill me with your love. Fill me with your spirit. And it's as simple as that. And then,
let me say something about that fill with the spirit, Rivers. Miracle
yes.
Man. Jesus said, he's more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you are to ask. Right?
Right.
So that's why I lead him right into that. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me with your blood. Fill me with your spirit. Four easy statements. It's the last moments of their life.
Right.
Get the whole thing done, so when their feet hit the other side, they're in good shape. Go
Hallelujah.
Ahead.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that is very powerful stuff. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank
yes.
you right now, tonight,
yes.
for anybody else that might be in this condition, where they've got
yeah.
loved ones and
yeah.
that are this really close to getting ready to go to the other side. And I just
yes.
thank you, Lord God, that you're telling them exactly what to say. I
yes.
thank you, Lord God, that these people are spending the time and getting all prayed up so that they can get ready to go in the house, go in the hospital, the nursing home, wherever they are,
yeah.
and
wherever they're
getting ready, and that you know that you're speaking to them and telling them exactly what to say, and I know, Lord Jesus, that you'll speak to them, and you'll tell them exactly what to say, and that these people will make it to be with you, Jesus. Now, Lord, ultimately, we want people to be healed. But if they're ready to go, this is the next best option. You know, if they're ready to go and they've lived a great long life, then if they haven't known you, you know, they can give their life to you right there. And I just thank you right now for these people who are listening and are going through that. And, Lord God, I thank you that after the loss happens, that you'd help them feel joy knowing that that person is, that that mother or father or child or relative or friend or whatever is there with you.
Yeah.
And let them not be all depressed and in shambles. Lord, there's a time for grieving. There's a time for that. But I just thank you that it wouldn't go beyond that appropriate amount of time. And I claim that they would feel comfort knowing that those other people are with you, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, for comforting all of us through that tough time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And also,
amen.
And also, Lord God, I thank you for this great word that went forth tonight, that we spoke on. You're never leaving us. You're always there to guide us through whatever that Red Sea might be, so we can get to that other side where you want us, you know, to that promised land. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are with us and you always make a way when there is no way. And I just thank you, Lord God, for that great word. And that people will take it to heart. And I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, about this whole cars thing, and so this past weekend, the North American Auto Show, North American International Auto Show, opened to the public at Cobo Center in downtown Detroit. It's on the main level of Cobo Center, in the big hall. And you can take People Mover from elsewhere in downtown Detroit, or you can park right near Cobo. And as I said before, this is just a reminder for those of you, if you happen to be going, a couple of helpful reminders. Reminder number one, auto show hours are 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, except for this coming Sunday, which will be the final day, and which hours will be 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Also related, there is no entry or re-entry into the auto show after 9 p.m. tonight up to Saturday night, and then after 6 p.m. on Sunday night. Pricing is $14 for adults, 12 and over. I mean, 13 and over. I believe it's $9 for ages 62 and over. And then for kids 7 to 12 is $7. And kids 6 and under are free to get into Cobo Center and look at some amazing cars, trucks, motorcycles, autonomous car display. There's a couple great technology displays from what I understand. I believe one of them is related to video games. And I believe that is in the downstairs part of the show. And so you can go take a look at that. I will most likely be down there on Friday, taking a look, hopefully getting to meet with one of the experts on these autonomous vehicles, as there's some stuff I'm curious about. This leads me to something that I've been thinking about. This fuel economy thing. Ever since like 2001, 2002, and even before that, but I know about it since like 2002, that fuel economy in the United States, it's always been about how do we get more miles to the gallon? How do we improve the miles to the gallon? How do we improve the miles to the gallon? And through different designs and that, they've done it. They've even passed some extremely stringent rules on how many miles to the gallon it has to be, like for a car in this country or an SUV or a truck. Some of them are good, but others of them could be overreaching. I've been thinking about this. What can be done so that we can get more miles out of a tank of gas and not just a gallon of gas. For, like, if you're taking a long road trip, like if you're going, say, from here to Nashville, how could you make it so that you would only need maybe a tank and a quarter, tank and a half, rather than almost two whole tanks of gas? And I'm sure there's designs we can do, but I'm not sure what they could do. Preacher man, how far does a semi truck go on a full tank of gas?
Well, depending on how big the tank is, because there are some tanks, you know, like, it depends on how big the tank is. Like, a lot of tanks are 150 gallons or maybe 300 gallons. So, of course, if you got more gallons, then you got more opportunity to go farther. But, of course, you know, a semi-truck's only going to get about 8 miles to the gallon, 10 miles to the gallon at the most, so. Most time it's about six.
So could you go, like, to South Georgia on a full tank?
It depends on how big your load is, yeah.
You could, but generally about the furthest you could make it would be, like, South Georgia?
Well, no, North Georgia, South Tennessee.
So to, like, Chattanooga, and that's on the big tanks, probably.
Yeah. Because the bottom line, so, if you can't get any more than 6 or 8 miles to a gallon, you're just not going to go far, you know. Now, like my Pam's brother, Ray, he had a 150 gallon tank in his truck, and he could go from Georgia to Indiana and back. But
and back.
He could go from Lake Resaca, Georgia, to Goshen, Indiana, and then back to Lake Resaca before he ran out. But he was getting about 25 miles a gallon.
Wow. That'd be nice for a car.
Yep.
So that would be essentially us getting up much of the way to Florida.
Yep.
But then we'd have to still get the gas where we were in Florida. You know, huh?
Yep.
And so it all depends on the gas tank and stuff. And miles to the gallon is great because it's a money saver. But we'd have to get gas in the car every 200 miles. It seemed like we'd have to put more gas in the car when we went to Alabama back in March of last year. Me and my mom took a road trip down to Alabama to see Bonnie and Mike back in, just after the Holy Spirit Conference. And we go down, and it seems like every 200 miles or so we'd have to get gas, as opposed to like every 300 and some with a normal car. But we were getting really good gas mileage. But why can't the smaller cars get more miles to the gallon and more miles per tank, and not just more miles to the gallon?
Well, it's all about the, because usually when you get more miles per gallon, then they shrink the size of the tank. So it just ends up being about the same amount either way.
Or sometimes less. So in this case, it was quite a bit less, meaning maybe that car wasn't not to be as conducive to long trips without having to do that many fill-ups, you know? Because some cars are more designed for long trips, I guess.
Right.
As far as you
right.
can go further without having to do a fill-up.
Yep.
Because those fill-ups, generally I try to say, a lot of the time when you're there, you have to use the bathroom and fill up gas, you know, and it can easily add 10 minutes, you know, meaning meaning in the course of a full driving day, it can be like a half hour added, you know, just to get the gas, you know?
Yep, yep.
As opposed to just stopping to get out and go to the bathroom, you know?
Yep.
So,
yep. And another way that you can get more miles per gallon or more miles per tank is to slow down. And, you know, like my truck, I got a truck now, and my truck, my pickup truck, if I go 75 to 80, I get really bad fuel economy. But if I do 60 to 65, I get a whole lot better, almost 7-8 miles a gallon better. But that has to do with the vehicle. You know, each vehicle is going to be different.
Some vehicles get more closer to the same no matter what, I guess.
Yep.
There's always going to be an effect, and some of them might be less severe.
Yeah. And, you know, like I had a truck once. It got 15 miles to the gallon. It didn't matter whether you were driving empty or pulling a load. That's all that thing ever got. I just got it. But now, like with this truck I got here, it'll get as high as 28 empty. And then, you know, depending on how big a load you're pulling, down to 18. So.
And the 18 is assuming you're maxing out everything, right?
Yeah, right. Well, right. So you know, there's another thing.
The maxing it out, meaning you're going 75, 80.
Yeah. Yep. And there's another thing that makes a difference about it is also the quality of the fuel you're burning. Now, like, they've done a lot of work so that these cars can burn that E85. And some things, just some engines work better with different kind of fuel. Like, now, my Harley-Davidson, my motorcycle, it only runs good on premium fuel. You put anything that's not premium in it, and it's just a mess. It just spitters and sputs and fumes, and you ain't got nothing. But run the premium, and it's got lots of power. So,
that's
just dependent on each vehicle too. So,
but that's not exactly something you can fit three people on, you know, to go on vacation for a week.
No, two maybe, but two and a small poodle.
And very little luggage. Probably you'd have to be doing a lot of laundry, probably.
Right. Yeah, you only can take a bag of luggage apiece.
So you couldn't have a real big school book bag full of all your clothes for the week, not necessarily.
No, not necessarily, no.
Nor could you have a cooler or any waters or anything. Or a bag of snacks, you know, for the trip. If it was just one person, maybe, if you anchored it down right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If it was just you going somewhere, if you're going.
Right. Right. And see, some vehicles, it won't matter if you have, if you burnt Super No Light or not. Now, like my Harley, you can only run Super. But a Honda, you don't ever run Super. You just always run the regular. So. That's how that works.
All right. So, with that in mind, Auto Insight has been brought to you by your Michigan, generally your Michigan American make and model car dealers. That includes Chrysler, Ford, General Motors, who remind you to think American first, as we have a lot of great options.
Yes,
we got gas cars, great trucks, SUVs. With great entertainment systems in them, Many of them have these DVD systems, you know, in the back now. Shelly has had a van that had one of those, a VCR player. This was back in 99, but still, it was a Chevrolet Astro minivan / full-size van, and they loved it. I loved riding in it whenever I got to ride in it, and it was pretty neat. But we have a lot of great options. So remember, think American first, folks, if you're looking for a car to buy, whether it be new or used. It'd be great to think American first and support our American automakers. And that's part of what made America as a whole, as well as the state of Michigan, great, is great manufacturing. So, something to think about. Also, upcoming episodes of sports has been brought to you by Coca-Cola, which reminds you that they are, as we say in Michigan, the best pop ever. As I have a T-shirt who says it. Yeah, and in many other places in America, it'll be the best soda ever. Well, in the South, they may say the best Coke ever. What kind of Coke you want, you know? Sometimes in the Southern U.S., they'll say that. Nonetheless, a bunch of sports stuff to get to, and especially when it comes to football and the analysis to do. So that leads me right into and let's begin with yesterday afternoon's game. That is the AFC Championship game with the New England Patriots versus the Jacksonville Jaguars in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Me, along with a bunch of ESPN people and other sources, thought the Patriots were going to win. For a while during that game, it did not look like they were going to. Much of that game, majority of that game actually, up until almost 3 minutes to go. It had been 20-17, and then Patriots, Brady throws a touchdown, and then extra point good to make it 24-20, and that's what the score ended up. At one point, the Patriots, though, were down by 14 points. So, a little bit lesser of a version of the Super Bowl from last year, where New England was down 28-3 to the Atlanta Falcons. And then the Patriots rush back, hurry back, you know, down the field, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And then it's tied 28. Then they go to overtime, and then New England scores, and they win the ball game. And then last night, yesterday afternoon, they didn't even need overtime. I know, because right after prayer at church, played a lot, 15 minutes between prayer and church started, I streamed the game, kind of sitting there on my phone for like 13 minutes of it, and I actually heard Brady throw the touchdown pass. And so I was just listening to it, and then there it was, sure enough. That's when I knew Patriots are going to win this thing. And they did. Brady, whatever that hand injury was, the jury's out on that. Is it taped or is it not taped? You know, He threw two touchdown passes in the fourth quarter to help seal the victory for the Patriots. This means that for the Patriots, this will be Tom Brady's 8th Super Bowl. 8.
Wow.
So this will be the 8th time in his 17 seasons. So you're just on the lower end of going half the time. Now when you've been in 17 years, there's no such thing as exactly 50%. You know, but there's been a couple times that he made it to AFC Championship game but lost it. But needless to say, Brady is a monster out there on that field. He is. He's doing all the right stuff. I think he has a couple years left, a few years left to keep it going. I really do. And I think for the Patriots, it looks good. No. I'm not doing a Super Bowl pick. I'm not doing it until next week, as the Super Bowl's on the 4th of February. But I will say this. I think New England's prospects are looking very good. That's what I will say. Now, we had this thing last night called the NFC Championship game in Philadelphia, where the Philadelphia Eagles, they're the Eagles, but I've heard some people call them the Eagles, were to play the Minnesota Vikings. After how they played last night, I think they should be the Minnesota Vikings, or maybe the Kittens. As the Vikings lost last night by a score of 38-7. At one point in the first quarter, they were up 7-0, but I didn't know that until this morning, as when I got out of church, I get in the car, turn on my Yahoo Sports thing, and at that point it's 14-7 Eagles. And then, you know, the Vikings are driving, and then they lose a fumble. Then Eagles are driving, they end up kicking a field goal. So then 17-7. Then Minnesota gets a 3-and-out. Eagles come back. Boom, touchdown. 24, and make it 24-7 going into halftime. Third quarter starts. Boom, touchdown. Right there, Eagles. So they just poured it on. Keenan threw a terrible interception. I warned last week on Wednesday night on this program. I warned that Paul Allen said that that Keenan had to not have those interceptions, that he's been throwing a bit more on the road, and that you can't have 6.5 yards per play and expect to win games in the playoffs on the road. Got to get more than that. He actually digressed to 5.5 because of his performance last night. 5.5 yards per play. When you're doing that in the playoffs, I'm sorry, you're not going to win games. And I was listening to Paul this morning, and he was really thinking they had a chance, but knew that there were things they had to do. I had belief in them. I thought they were going to do those things. They didn't. He threw a terrible interception when he was up 7-0. And then Eagle just ran over him. And to the Vikes, I say, great job this season. And for the Lions, hopefully I can say next year with Matt Patricia, most likely going to be our coach, I would say this. We're coming. Am I saying we're going to win the North Division next year? I'm not saying we are or that we're not. But I will say this. We're coming. We're going to work at getting better. Matt Patricia, Coach Patricia, assuming he's the guy we hire, he's going to do some great things for us, the Lions. I hope that we can get some good running backs so that we can do well. And so what I saw from this postseason, basically this. That NFC, this is even based on the regular season, that NFC is a lot tougher than the AFC. It is. Big time. And five of the teams from the NFC or National Football Conference that made the playoffs this year did not make it last year. So, in retrospect, that means that in the past 2 years, 11 of the 16 teams were able to make the playoffs, which I look at that, and I think that's just fantastic. I think it's great, honestly. Among the five teams that did not make it either year would be the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Bears, and the Buccaneers, as well as someone else. I forget who it was. I think it might have been the Redskins. So those are the only five teams from the NFC that did not make the playoffs in the last two seasons, including this postseason. So, where are we now? Well, the Pro Bowl is going to be on this Sunday, which I will talk about later in the week. But for the more major game, is Super Bowl number 52 in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which will be at around 6:30 p.m. start time on NBC. I think it's going to be a great game. Could it be like 2005 all over again? We'll see. And for those of you who might remember or might not remember, in 2005, the Patriots did beat the Eagles, in fact, 24-21. But the funny thing about that one is we had a bet with one of my teachers at my middle school. And here's what it was. He never told me this beforehand, but it ended up being what I got. But the idea was this. If the Patriots win by the score you claim, you're getting a vanilla Coke. A 12-pack of vanilla Coke. Because he knew I loved vanilla Coke a lot. I forget what he said. He didn't say anything would happen if they didn't, but the idea was, if you get it right, you get a 12-pack of Coke. I got it right. However, I said they would win in overtime. But that didn't matter. Of course, it's like, sure enough, it was, well, here's your vanilla Coke. Come Monday morning, you know, I get in there and there's vanilla Coke for me. And he said, this is for you predicting accurately the Super Bowl. Huh. And I said that's what it would be, 24-21. It was. Do I think it'll be 24-21? Who knows? But I do think it's going to be a great game. I really do. Now, here's something about the all five times that the Patriots have won the Super Bowl, it's always been in the form of a last second triumph. Either
yeah.
they were behind or a last second stop. The Patriots that I pick this year, and again, I have about 10 days to formulate that pick. Yep, I pick the Patriots. I have every reason to believe right now that it will be another one of those kind of triumphs. Just like what they did yesterday in the AFC Championship game. It was a last-second triumph. And that's what winners do. You're not always up 24-7 in the fourth quarter or 21-14 with 8 minutes to go. No. Sometimes you have to do that last-second triumph or a stop, you know, in order to make it that last-second triumph, you know. And that means you're battle-tested. And that's something that the Patriots have that I've loved about them since the first time they won it. And that was when I started loving the NFL and watching these games. Before that, I was into it a little bit, just starting that season and playing NFL games on the Nintendo 64 with my brother. And wonderful memories. But, you know, we were good at it. And so that is your NFC, AFC championship games update. Now, basketball. Pistons lose again, 5 in a row. This time, New Jersey to New Jersey Nets, 101-100 last night at Little Caesars Arena. This is the second time this season that the Pistons have lost 5 in a row or more. And to the Pistons, I will say this. You want to go to the postseason this year? You need to stop doing this. You need to get to a lot more winning than losing. I say this as a fan who's going to be down there 2 weeks from tonight at about this time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be just about starting the game. And me and my brother will be sitting down there right behind the bench, Pistons bench, 11th row. And we'll be there at the game. I'll be live tweeting, like, at the end of the quarters as far as what's going on. You know, Tobias Harris is having a great night or whatever, so follow me on Twitter as I'll be live tweeting the event while I'm there live from Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. But Pistons got to do better. Red Wings, they also lost this weekend. Michigan State is looking to get back into their winning ways as they pounded Indiana on Friday, 85-56. And so they looked fantastic after coming off a period in which they had lost twice in 3 games. So they're trying to get back in it and get back to a better ranking in that Big Ten. Michigan very soon has to go face Purdue again, a team that they lost to by 5 points. And so, also, on Friday, January 26th, Tigers will be at 2 different places. it's going to be Tiger's Day at the auto show, so there'll be some Tigers there. There will also be some Tigers, from what I understand, at Zender's Snowfest in Frankenmuth, where they have a big snowfest and winter carnival type thing for snow lovers. And so you can't get to Detroit, maybe go to Frankenmuth and see some of the Tigers. That might be there. So just thought I should let all you guys know that. So that brings our sports cast for the night to an end. And folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. And
God first.
So long, everybody.
God always.
And
so long, everybody.
And I will see you all tomorrow night. Same time, same place.
Hey.
Yes.
Bless you, brother.
Thank you, too. Love you so much. Thank you so much for your friendship.
Yep. Love you, man. Keep the faith.
I will.